Our next speaker is Dr. Anusha Ramakrishnan. Dr. Ramakrishnan is currently pursuing her MPH at the UT School of Public Health in Houston, Texas, in environmental and occupational health sciences. She has an MS in environmental science and a PhD in environmental engineering. Her current research interests are investigation of health effects related to environmental exposures, health risk assessment, and treatment of priority pollutants of environmental concern. Please help me welcome Dr. Ramakrishnan.
Good morning to all. Welcome to my presentation that focuses on maternal exposure to hazardous air pollutants and birth defects among offspring. Before I begin my presentation, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to present my research at the APHA meeting. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose associated with this project. Birth defects are a leading cause of infant mortality in the United States. CDC statistics reveal that about 1 in 33 births in the U.S. is diagnosed with a birth defect. Infants born with birth defect experience significant functional and long-term developmental disability. Common types of birth defects include neural tube defects, Down syndrome, and oral clefts. We focused on oral clefts for the present study. Oral clefts refer to the malformation of lip, mouth, or both. The prevalence of oral clefts in Texas is about 11 per 10,000 live births. Infants diagnosed with oral clefts experience significant mortality and lifelong morbidity compared to their unaffected counterparts. Etiologically, oral clefts have been classified into two groups: cleft lip with or without cleft palate and isolated cleft palate. Cleft lip is the congenital malformation of median and maxillary nasal process to fuse, resulting in the formation of a fissure in the upper lip as seen in the picture. Cleft palate refers to the congenital malformation of palate to fuse completely, resulting in the formation of fissure in the roof of the mouth as seen in the picture. In spite of your high prevalence and clinical significance, the etiology of oral clefts in humans have not been well understood. In epidemiology, we identified a number of risk factors that are associated with oral clefts that are presented in this slide. However, most of these risk factors do not address majority of the cases. Hence, there is a need to identify novel risk factors associated with oral clefts. We focused on maternal exposure to hazardous air pollutants. Hazardous air pollutants are toxic chemicals that are found in the air environment that are often suspected to cause adverse health conditions. The United States Environmental Protection Agency lists about 187 of these pollutants in their website, and this list is being updated periodically. Compared to criteria air pollutants like oxides of sulfur and nitrogen, hazardous air pollutants lack national air quality standards. Moreover, there is no adequate monitoring for them in communities. Furthermore, there are very few epidemiological studies that focus on hazardous air pollutants. A common group of hazardous air pollutants to which we are exposed almost every day is the volatile organic compounds which are present in petroleum derivatives. Four common hydrocarbons in this group are benzene, toluene, ethyl benzene, and xylene. Benzene has been reported to be a human carcinogen by International Agency for Research on Cancer. Toluene, ethyl benzene, and xylene have been reported to cause adverse effects on central nervous system. The term BTEX refers to the sum of the concentration of hydrocarbons in the mixture. A recent study in Texas has reported an increased risk of a neural tube defect called spina bifida, resulting from increased census tract exposures to benzene. Since oral clefts share few risk factors, common risk factors with neural tube defects, it would be worthwhile to examine their association with hazardous air pollutants. Moreover, Texas is a state that ranks first in its benzene emission in the nation, and also it has a high variability in its emissions of hazardous air pollutants. Hence, it would be worthwhile to study the distribution of oral clefts in Texas. The research question is, does maternal exposure to BTEX increase the risk of oral clefts? To answer this research question, we conducted a case-control study in Texas. We obtained cases of oral clefts in Texas from the Texas Birth Defects Registry, one of the largest population-based registries in the world. The registry conducts active surveillance throughout the state of Texas in hospitals and birthing centers to obtain cases of birth defects that includes live births, stillbirths, and pregnancy terminations since 1999. We obtained data on cases of oral clefts delivered between 1st of January 1999 and 31st of December 2008. After applying our exclusion criteria, we ended up with 3,667 cases and 14,735 control infants. By exclusion criteria, I mean that we excluded cases that were syndromic and non-isolated. Syndromic cases refer to cases that have chromosomal abnormalities and other defects. And by non-isolated, I mean that there are multiple defects. And we frequency matched our cases and controls to obtain a ratio of 5 controls per case. The map here shows the modeled concentration of benzene in selected counties of Texas, along with the location of air quality monitors in Texas. Looking at the map, it would be clear that the air quality monitors are not evenly distributed in the state of Texas. They are highly concentrated in urban areas and sparsely distributed in rural suburbs. If we have to obtain data for a population-based study, then we have to rely on other data sources to obtain pollutant concentrations throughout the state. We see that there is a need to increase the number of air quality monitors in the state of Texas. To obtain exposure data, we depended on hazardous air pollutant exposure model. So we obtained model data for BTEX emissions from HABA model published by US EPA. The model calculates average inhalation exposure of an individual assigned to a specific demographic group based on the concentration of pollutant in the microenvironment and the amount of time spent by the individual in each microenvironment. We obtained census tract level estimates of BTEX from the HAPM model, and we linked the HAPM estimates to maternal census tract at delivery and year of delivery. For assessing the relationship between BTEX exposure and oral clefts, we used unconditional logistic regression in our model main analysis, and we categorized exposure into 4 groups: low, medium, medium-high, and high, based on the distribution among controls. We evaluated the association between each pollutant and each oral cleft phenotype. Further, we adjusted our model for selected covariates that are listed here. We obtained a slightly different result from what we assumed to identify. In our population, exposure to high census tract levels of benzene did not increase the risk of cleft lip without palate or isolated cleft palate. We obtained similar results after adjusting our estimates with selected covariates. We obtained similar results for toluene exposure, ethylbenzene exposure, and xylene exposure. In our selected population, maternal exposure to BTEX did not increase the risk of oral clefts among offspring. Mothers who lived in census tract with highest BTEX exposures were not more likely to deliver an offspring with oral cleft. Our study had few limitations. We obtained modeled data and used it for our analysis, and use of modeled data might have resulted in misclassification of exposure. Further, the modeled data was obtained only for the year 2005 and not for the entire study period. Moreover, there was a lack of personal exposure assessment on exposed populations in Texas. And finally, the maternal address at delivery in many cases would not coincide with the address during the first trimester of pregnancy that formed a critical period in the morphogenesis of oral clefts. Despite these limitations, our study had few strengths. We obtained data from Texas Birth Defects Registry, which is one of the largest population-based registry in the world. And our sample had the largest number of non-syndromic cases of oral clefts than previous studies conducted on oral clefts. Further, we had well-characterized phenotypes in our sample. And we also carried out separate analysis for each birth defect phenotype and each chemical exposure. We would like to include additional measures of exposure and additional birth defects for our future research. I would like to express my sincere acknowledgement to my committee members for their guidance and support throughout my project. I thank you for your attention, and I would like to invite your questions. The question was, did you look control for the confounding variables, including age, occupation, and multivitamins? We did apply confounding for age, and only for age, because this study was not looking at occupational exposures. It was only environmental exposures. We did not apply occupation as a factor. And we did not look at multivitamin exposure, because multivitamins for the first case do not form an important risk factor for oral clefts as it is for neural tube defects. And we could not also obtain data on multivitamin intake, hence we could not include them in our analysis. Sure, I would recommend it. It was very easy to use. Question is that, if we look at the monitored data, maybe it would be a robust analysis. Your point is well taken, and this is the first step in our study. We looked at model data, and maybe for our next step, we would look at the monitored data and compare it. Thank you.
Do you have a question, or are you stretching? Oh, okay. I'd like to just make a comment, if I may. So one limitation of this study is that it used the residents at the time of delivery, which is all we have with the birth defects registry. And that can be kind of a problem because, as mentioned appropriately, most birth defects occur closer to the time of conception, usually in the first trimester. And in Texas, we have found in another study that approximately 31% of moms move between conception and delivery. Interestingly enough, in that student's dissertation, another part of the analysis was whether that made much, whether it had much of an impact on the exposure estimates for his particular study. And he found that, in fact, they didn't. Because most moms, when they move during pregnancy, tend to move very close by. Because they have their social relationships, their work relationships, and everything like that. And so many times the reason to move might be they just need a bigger home or something like that, but they want to maintain all this social support and economic support. And so I guess the bottom line from that is that this mobility during pregnancy may make less of an impact than some people think, but I think it really depends on the exposure you're looking at. So this was modeled for estimated exposure at the census tract level. We might be fairly comfortable in assuming that the impact would be fairly small, because census tracts tend to be moderately large. But if you're looking at an exposure like proximity to a highway or major streets, then it could have a big impact. So I think it's something definitely worthwhile considering. Yes, one more.
Well, this is so important what you're saying along those lines. I just don't know, in terms of birth defect registries overall, is there like some move to integrate more timing issues of exposure, like to improve surveillance of birth defects overall? I mean, to more closely incorporate so that the registry data overall can, you know, recognizing that actually when the exposure occurs, it's most relevant to the birth defects, to improve surveillance.
Sure. Most birth defects registries, with which I'm aware, through the National Birth Defects Prevention Network, are limited in the data they can collect, either passively or actively. So almost always, it's the resident at the time of delivery. And the main effort to try and get information on residents around the time of organogenesis or conception, it's usually through well-designed case-controlled studies like the National Birth Defects Prevention Study. So. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.